This is Tully Blanchard, one of the original members of the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair and Arn and Ole Anderson. And you know what? With this world of high technology, you got to go to the best. You got to be the best. You got to have the best equipment, just like the Four Horsemen always told you. InYourHeadOnline.com. That's the premier place to get your information about the wrestling business today, tomorrow, and even in the past. This is your place for the best, by the best, with the best.
All right, and welcome to the show, the legendary Ox Baker. Welcome to In Your Head.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. And we can see you August 19th to the 21st at the NWA Wrestling Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina. And for more information, you can check out NWALegends.com. Is this going to be your first year at the Fan Fest?
Well, yes. You know, it's very funny in wrestling. Every time they want a great crowd, they call loudmouth Ox Baker and said, Ox, could you make it this year? We want to sell out. We want people to come from everywhere. And the one person that they asked about, they don't care who the stars are, they said, when is the fantastic Ox Baker, the loudmouth of wrestling, when is he going to be there? We want to come and see him. We don't care about the other guys, just so we can catch a glimpse of the fantastic Ox Baker.
Dusty Rhodes who? We want Ox Baker.
Well, you see, Dusty Rhodes, for years, he said, Ox, I hate to be known as the second best talker in all of wrestling, but since you're there, Ox, I have to take the number two slot. And I said, well, that's very humble of you. I said, I have to be number one. I always have been, and with the lack of talent that they really have for talking, I will always be number one.
Do you think this year we'll do better than last year?
What do you mean? I just kept telling you, with me being there, it's almost a written guarantee. I hope the crowd don't triple, by the way. I know we'll double without a shallow doubt, but you think it would triple where they'd have to wait in line, because I'd give Gary Price Gary Price, tell everybody to bring their Polaroid camera, because they don't want to go through life without having a picture of the fantastic Ox. I mean, they can have these other guys picture anything, but to get a picture of Ox Baker, it's like I tell them, I'm worth waiting for.
Oh, I gotta agree. They got some big names here. They got Harley Race. They got.
I know they got big names, you know. And the idea is, I'm almost embarrassed to say that I have to be number one there. I know these other guys will try their best to climb all over each other. And in fact, I've heard a couple of them.
I have to call up and get my computer fixed. I just lost all sound again.
Okay, you can call me back then. You can call me back.
You guys, I can't hear anybody, so you guys will have to talk to Ox.
He's just going to keep talking.
I really feel bad about this guy. Sorry.
We're going to see.
That's what you get for buying a computer on sale, you know what I mean? It's like having all these other guys and not having Ox Baker. You know, his lousy computer is down. The bank does that to me all the time. Every time I go to cash one of my $2 checks, they say the computer is down, so I have to wait in line like everybody else.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about phoning you back in a bit.
Hi, this is Jack again.
Yeah, this is the computer man.
Yeah, this is the computer man. Sorry, I'm really sorry about that. I hope.
Well, we've just broken the longest record for an interview ever on radio, by the way. We're 49 minutes and counting, and we haven't even got to the first question. This has to be a record.
Nice.
I did get the computer on sale, by the way. Now I know why it was on sale.
They could have gave it to you for nothing, and you still got cheated. But go ahead. Where were we at, anyway?
Oh, we just talked about the Fan Fest.
Okay, that's very good. You was going to have questions for me.
Right.
And I may be wrong, but I think that perhaps you were talking about how awesome you are.
How what?
How fantastic awesome you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't really come out and say how great I am because I'm sort of backward and shy, but I just give examples of what happened. I remember as I was laying here, one time I was on a radio show, and I happened to mention that I like peanut butter cookies. The fans sent me 125 dozen of peanut butter cookies.
Oh, man.
And just last week I was telling guys I switched over. Now I like pancakes. A guy bought 100 pounds of cranberries and made cranberry pancakes, and I've been crunching on them for a whole week. So I've got to watch what I say to the fans, because they love me so much. You know, one time years ago, I mentioned that the airport had ruined one of my bags. Fans sent me 42 new bags. I had to stop. I don't need any more bags. Stop the pancakes. I don't want any more cookies. But, you know, when the fans love you, like, the fans realize that I liked them, you know what I mean? Like, I had these women down in Kentucky. They chew tobacco. I chewed tobacco about 5 minutes, and I regurgitated for about 10 minutes. I had to stop chewing tobacco. But they chewed tobacco and spit at me, and I loved every minute. I've always loved my fans. That's the reason I've lasted. You know, I started in 1964. Here it is, 204, I forget now. 40 years. The fans always realized that Oxford, you know, a lot of the wrestlers didn't like the fans. They thought they were stupid, you know. They couldn't count up to five, even if they started at three, you know. But I always loved my fans. That was the reason, the secret of my success.
Cool. I just wanted all my fans to know I love money.
You love what?
I love cash.
A lot of guys do that, you know. I have a couple friends, we call them muggers. You know, they say that they don't have to worry about small change because everybody has some small change. And so when they mug them, they just take the small change, you know.
You talked about the women. Did the women like the mustache and the eyebrows?
Well, what happened was, unfortunately, I was born with the most gorgeous eyes that a human being ever had. So I had to grow the mustache and the eyebrow so that people would be terrified of me. And then I always had that loud voice. And even today when I say, sit down, woman, in the third row, they sit down, even if they're standing, you know. But fans have always loved me, and I've always had that loud voice. And, you know, Gary Price said, Ox, we need to, I said, you're going to fill this place up. And like I was telling about the Polaroid camera, please take the, if you never had another shot of it, you got to get a Polaroid picture of the fantastic Ox Baker.
So if they come and see you at the Fan Fest, you don't mind signing
autographs? Did you mention the dates on that Fan Fest? I didn't hear you mention the dates on that. Did you mention the dates?
It's August 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. Friday.
That's what I wrote down. I wanted to make sure because a lot of fans, unless you tell them five or six times, you know, cause some of them are listening. They don't have their hearing aids on, and they never hear their dates. But they all want to show up now. And I know Gary have a big smile on his face because he said, Ox, is there any way that you can get me a sellout? I said, well, if you find a radio station where the computer is working, we might be able to do that, you know.
Oh, man.
Well, you can find all
the computers. You got the computer on sale, right?
Oh, it's working now.
Oh, very good. Any more questions?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
How does it feel to be known as the ugliest wrestler?
Well, the idea, they often said that I had a face that wore out two bodies, and it is true. And I'm the first time in history that when I was born, they actually spanked my mother, you know. But when you're a legend in your own mind, things like that happen, you know. And I've always been aware of it.
You ever feel bad about never having a world title?
See, that is a trivial question. Ox Baker actually won 3 world titles.
Oh, really?
And I have handkerchiefs that I have trivial. That's one of the trivial questions. What is the first world title that Ox Baker ever won? I did win some, huh?
What was the first?
Well, you have to get one of the handkerchiefs to find out, you know what I mean? Ha, 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 ha. They'll be there to show, you know. It's like, who was Fritz Von Erich, what was his name of his oldest son he ever had, you know?
You ever wrestled Von Erichs?
I wrestled everyone. I was one of the first guys to knock them all out, you know. Kevin never learned how to wrestle. He kept hitting me below the waist. So I knocked him out, and I told his dad, you got to teach these kids. That was he wouldn't teach the kids how to wrestle. In the old days, you had to learn how to wrestle. But Fritz was a great wrestler, but his kids were just mediocre.
Yeah. Do you have any weird stories about any of the Fritz Von Erich's kids?
No. The idea was, it was often funny. It was like when I first met the Road Warriors, you know, everybody in the world always wanted to meet the Road Warriors, probably the greatest tag team of all time.
Right.
I came in the dressing room, and the Road Warriors would never talk to him, but they jumped up, and again, they had their Polaroid cameras with them. They had to have a Polaroid picture of me and the Road Warriors, and I was very pleased about that, because they was actually I thought they was the toughest, roughest tag team of all time. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of guys would question that. They say, well, the Anderson brothers, but you couldn't tell who the Anderson brothers was. There was supposed to be four of them, you know.
Right.
Well, I talked to the mother. She only had one child, so I don't know how they came up with four of them. But, you know, it was like my grandmother, she had three children, one of each. So we never realized there's only one Anderson brother, but there turned out to be four of them.
Oh,
can you figure that out?
I can't figure it out.
Well, but I got to tell you about Ole. He's the first guy in the history of wrestling. He fired me twice. He said, "Ox, I fired you the first time because I thought you was a lousy wrestler, and I fired you a second time because I realized you was a lousy wrestler."
Uh-huh.
But he's a very good friend of mine. Ole Anderson will tell you straight like what it is, and I've always loved him for that.
Well, that's good. Do you have a question, Ox?
Do you think you are a lousy worker, or, you know, is your strength in talking, or how did you
Well, the idea was, if you would turn a TV show on today, because there's only one going to WWE,
mm-hmm.
in the 2 hours that they have it on, they have 11 minutes of wrestling, and the rest of the time is talking, commercializing, so you have to, see, I have a wrestling school here in Danielson, Connecticut. And I teach the guy, not wrestling, though, some guy, teach me how to jump off the back of the top rope. I said, I was 320 pounds. You think I could even climb up the top rope? But I do teach you how to wrestle on that tube because, you know, you have to learn. People are going to ask you questions, you know. And so you got to be able to talk. And I try to teach you not only wrestling, though, half of my, I have a school for 2 years. Half of the year, the 2 years, I teach them how to talk on the TV. And I'm very happy to have taught a couple guys in wrestling how to actually talk. And they come back to me and they said, thank you very much, Ox. You know, you didn't teach me any wrestling hold because you didn't know any, but you sure did teach me how to talk.
Now, you mentioned the WWE. Did you ever do any business with them in the past?
Well, it so happened is one of the legends I had, me and Superstar Billy Graham were actually the World Tag Team Champions down in Florida, and they had this new guy come around, Terry Boucher. He wanted to see, he said he was 345 pounds. He was knocking people down on the beach. So he said, well, come to Pensacola, step in the ring and see what you can do. And we actually have taped him crawling around on his knees and said, Ox, don't hit me again. Don't kick me again, please. You're better than I am. I said, well, that's all right. But when he got to the WWE, Vince made him his world champion, Hulk Hogan. He said, whatever you do, don't ever get that Ox Baker in here because I'm afraid that he'll knock me down with that heart punch again. So it's all right to get Billy Graham because Billy Graham always rested on Ox Baker's shoulder because I had the world famous heart punch, you know, and then that got me along for 40 years.
Who invented the heart punch? Were you using it first or Stasiak?
No, Stan Stasiak invented it, and it so happened that one night, a promoter came up to me and said, Ox, we just put Alberto Torres in the hospital. He said you hit him with a punch and he's in there, you know, and he rolled over in bed and died. So a lot of people thought that I invented the heart punch, but I don't take credit for that. It was invented by Stan Stasiak. In fact, when he died a few years ago, in all the magazines, and like, I wrote the first cookbook in the history of wrestling called The Fallen Warriors, and I said that now there's no longer a heart punch, there's the hurt punch. Ox Baker's hurt punch, and I've been waiting to find some wrestler that's qualified to use the hurt punch, and so far, even though I've got four guys in the WWE that I help train and to help interview, that I've never let anybody use my hurt punch.
What four guys are those that's currently in the WWE?
I knew you would ask that! Okay, you mentioned the Von Erichs. This guy came up to me. His name was Mean Mark McAllister. He said, Ox, you keep knocking these Von Erichs out, and the only guy who wrestles is your dad. He said, I want to go to the WWE. Could you show me how you... I said, do you know how to take people off your feet? Because I was a great amateur wrestler. And I showed him how to take him off his feet. And the other day, he just set a record for the WrestleMania. He was the first guy to, I think it was 17 straight matches he won in WrestleMania. And he became The Undertaker.
Undertaker, right.
And then I have a farm in Missouri, and I got this big guy, 6'9". He wanted to go as the Night Stalker, and I took him from day one. I trained him for 5 years. He finally went there.
Is that the Atom Bomb?
That was the Atom Bomb, right?
Yep.
Brian Clark. And one thing, I guess Vince told him, he said, I'd like to bring Ox Baker in. He said, but if I brought him in, all the talkers would have to go find another territory. So... we'll leave Ox Baker out of the WWE and let all these guys try to talk and get over with the people. And even though you're the best, Ox, we just can't use you in the WWE. And I want to say, right, you know, Vince McMahon has actually revolutionized wrestling. You know, at that, when Bruno was the world champion years and years ago, his biggest year was $280,000. Now the guys are making millions of dollars, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when, if you want to knock Vince one way, the idea he's made more money for everybody, and I hear these guys, well, he only made me a couple of million-dollar years, and then he let me go. I said, because he couldn't wrestle you, Dolph. You couldn't talk a lick. You didn't even belong there. He doesn't even want me there. He never even gave me a chance. And and then a guy come along years later, he had these big muscles, he was kissing his muscles, he said, Oscar, could you teach me a couple holds? I'm going to go there. I said, well, if you let me manage it. He said, well, I'm going to go back there, I'm going to set it on fire. I said, okay, where do you go? He said, well, I go as Papa Pump. I said, well, you got to take me back in to manage because you can't talk a lick. Now, if you check the card right now, Papa Pump is not even on the cards. He didn't take me in as a manager, he didn't make a nickel. You know, you can have all the rats. You got to tell the people you're great. I've never been afraid to say, hey, I'm the world's loudest rat, but the best talker. And what do you want to hear somebody talk? Or, you know, you can get all these midgets to get out there and wrestle, you know, but none of them can talk.
So that's the Undertaker, Brian Clark, and...
I believe The Undertaker, before he became The Undertaker, he was using the hard punch as his finisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he broke his wrist doing it, by the way, if you'll check into the record.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's a secret that I have that I found out about it. And But meanwhile, he's done very, very well. I'm very, very proud of him. I am mad that he's never called me or sent me a nice check to say, thanks for showing me how to take goofs off their feet. But that's all right. It's easy to see me one day with a nice Polaroid and forget me the next, you know. Can you imagine 126 dozen of peanut butter cookies? I never tell the fans I love peanut butter cookies anymore because now I'm into pumpkin pie. I'll probably get 50 at the show there, but that's all. I'll let the fans eat with me, you know.
Better not tell them how much you like elephants.
Elephants?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mentioning a bunch of elephants.
Elephants? Why would you mention elephants?
He's British.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I wanted to buy an elephant one day, but I couldn't find a bed big enough for the two of us, so I didn't get one.
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
Oh, he's saying from Britain.
So if the fans come and see you at the NWA Legends Fan Fest, you have no problem signing autographs, taking pictures?
I want to do all that, and I tell them when they come there, I know there's going to be a huge line. Just be very patient. I have time for each and one of you. Even if you've got an ugly sister, buck tooth or something, I'll sign an autograph for her, too. I've always loved my fans, you know.
Right. You mentioned...
Because some wrestlers say the fans don't deserve an autograph. I think every fan that comes there deserves an autograph. And since we're going to have this sellout, you know, if I can find a radio station that has a great computer, I know we can sell out, but maybe this one here with this used computer... could do very good, but I'm going to call Greg afterwards and say, is there any other TV or radio stations out there that I could get on? Because I want to help the show out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of big-name stars there. And, of course, there's a lot of big-name people that's going to be at this fan fest. But, of course, Hawks Baker's the biggest.
Who is?
You, Hawks Baker.
Yeah, well, I don't really say I'm the biggest, but you're right when you say that, you know. Greg P, he'd be so proud when he sees them people come in by the hundreds, you know, and thousands, and but I'll have time for each and every one of them. I don't care, you know.
You mentioned the Road Warriors earlier. Did all the younger guys treat the older wrestlers with respect? Or was that a...
what happened, and I say this today with no modesty whatsoever, you see, the... wrestlers today, because they have to do so much more, are actually better athletes than we ever were. But wrestling holds, no way. They didn't. A lot of them today didn't learn wrestling holds. You know, like Ole Anderson, probably one of the great technicians of wrestling holds.
Right.
The kids now they don't know wrestling. They want to dive over the top rope. The other day, if you remember, a guy moved out of the way. The guy hit his head and killed himself. You know. I never dived over the top rope. I had trouble getting under the bottom rope, let alone diving over the top rope. And they do so many things. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons they do so many things nowadays is they don't have the talent to carry the crowd, so they want sensationism, right?
Right,
they saw a table in half, and then they drop a guy on, and the table breaks, you know. That to me is cheap and wrestling, where in the old days you got heat or the people worked up by holds, you know. And like I said, I'm the only guy in the history. I could do it today. If you brought your little kid and said, shut that kid up, that kid wouldn't open his mouth for a half hour. Nowadays, the guys you see, they yell at the fans, and the fans laugh at it. In my day, Dick the Bruiser would take you in the dressing room and beat you up if a fan ever laughed at you in the ring. And from 64 to 78, nobody ever laughed in the ring. We wasn't there for fun in this. Nowadays, they laugh and they sing together, you know. Like I said, I believe that they're better athletes today, but better wrestlers, they're not. And when I go back, like the biggest crowd I ever drew in Puerto Rico was over 14,000 people. They haven't drew a 14,000 crowd since I've been there, right? They've drew more money, but they haven't drew people-wise. And if you check all the records, like Bruno Sammartino, for 12 years he sold out Madison Square Garden every time he had a show there. They can't even get a half a house in Of course, if they put me on the card as a manager, they could sell out. But Vince ain't going to do that. He doesn't want to get rid of the guys, you know. He had some great managers. They wasn't in my category, of course, but they tried the best they could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, now you guys are just listening. You're not asking questions. What do the fans want to know about me?
When did you start managing?
What I did was, it's even like my wrestling school I have now. I quit wrestling in 1989. I had to have both knees replaced because my knees were so bad. And I always give the fans 100, like on this radio show here, I'm giving you 150%. I'm not going, I'm not grunting, you know.
Right.
I'm giving you the very best that I can give you, and that's the way it was. But when my knees got so bad that I looked like a big crab in the ring, I just said, boys, I got to give it up. So, but the next week, some guy said, Ox, you know, I can't talk a lick. Would you manage me? I said, all right. When I started my wrestling school, all these kids said, when can I make $1 million? I said, well, I've trained hundreds of you, and no one's made $1 million yet. But Mark McAllister did, of course. The ones I named all made $1 million in, you know, the WWE.
Right.
And I just sent a guy there, and I'm training a guy right now. I'm calling him Mr. Sexy. You guys remember Rick Rude?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Rick Rude used to kiss a girl in the ring, and it would faint.
The Rude Awakening.
Well, I got Mr. Sexy right now, and I want you to tell the whole world. I got Mr. Sexy. He walks by. He just has to touch the girls, and they fall out of their chairs.
Faint.
Right. The other night, I had to stop them. 38 women were standing outside the door and said, could we leave our husband for Mr. Sexy? So I'm getting him ready for the WWE, but I'm telling Vince right now, unless I can manage him, unless you bring him in there for one night, because I have a record right now I want to tell you about, and you guys are the first ones that have heard this. Are you listening right now?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm going to be the first guy in the history of wrestling that gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame and has never been there.
Ah.
Would that be quite an accomplishment?
Oh, that would be great.
It would.
Well, you know, I'm telling you right now, you can write it down. If you can't write, have your friend do it for you, or put it on your, you can't put it on your computer because that's not working, but write it down. Ox Baker is going to be the first man to get into the Wrestling Hall of Fame for the WWE and never has been in the WWE.
That's great. Did you teach Mr. Sexy how to make the women faint? Was that something you picked up from you?
No, I was never that way. What I'm doing, and the perfume company have already wrote me, what I should do is take the sweat off his body and put in a jar and sell it as perfume, but the perfume industry would go out of business, so I said, I better not do that, you know. But Mr. Sexy, 6'6", great build, 22-inch arms, and he's going to get there sooner or later, whether I manage her or not. Because, again, I might get him there, and Vince said, well, Ox, we just can't use you, you know. But I admire Vince very much, and not that I'm putting him over, but he's made a lot of stars out of guys that shouldn't have been stars, but he did it. Well, he's got it covered, right?
Right.
There's no other promotion. In fact, if you try to run a show, he'll put one of his shows in there, and you won't make it in there. It's hard nowadays. You know, it's funny, I'll tell you what a paradox is. 1964, I was making $15, $18, $30 a night. Well, some of these guys now, they're running these shows against them. That's what they're paying them guys, $25, $30 a night.
Right, this is 40 years later.
It's 40 years later, right? I mean, the WWE is not doing that, but the guys that try to run against Vince, so
yeah.
He is powerful. But, you know, I remember one time the Ultimate Warriors, I either make $1 million or I'll leave you. Vince drew a line through his name and said, "You'll never wrestle for me again."
You think
that's power, brother.
Yeah.
You've never seen the Ultimate Warrior again.
Nope.
You know?
You think that's bad for wrestling, that there's only one federation now?
Yeah.
Bad for
wrestlers? Competition is always good, but, you know, it's like the guys that I train now and these guys that run these shows for 30 nights, for $30 a night.
Right.
These guys are still happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just to be in the business.
I'm a wrestler, I don't care, you know. Like, I was training a guy one time, and my wife stopped me, my lovely Peggy Ann, said, "Ah, this guy's got to stop training." I said, "Why? He's swelling up." This guy had very bad kidney trouble. In fact, he's on a machine right now. And he said, "I don't care, Ox. I just wanted to be a wrestler. I don't care if they even pay me. I'll, you know." And I remember years ago, I said, "Let me referee. I'll referee for nothing," right?
Mm-hmm.
You want it so bad, you know. And, you know, if Vince picks you out, you know, you can make it. You know, like this All-American or the guy that won the national title and then he quit him to be a football star.
Brock Lesnar.
You don't see him again. You don't hear him. Brock Lesnar, right?
He's just now coming back. They just announced, I think, last week.
Well, he just announced he's coming back. Well, I'm surprised at that because Vince very seldom gives you, like, only editors, you only give me two chances. He said, "Ox, you can't be that bad." And when he fired me the second time, he said, "Ox, you proved to me you're that bad." No, what happened, I tagged the guy in one time, and I fell into the ring instead of stepping in, and he said, "Oh, Lord," he wanted to cut my throat. And I had a lot of time for Ole Anderson, by the way.
Do you want to answer
something? So how are we doing there, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great.
Pretty good?
I just wanted to say, I read online that you were on The Price is Right once.
Yes, I've done The Price is Right. And I got to the wheel, and I believe it or not, I got a dime one spin and a nickel the other. probably the lowest score I ever got on the wheel. But I won about $4,000 worth of. You know, Bob Barker called me down, and I said, "You know, at this time, Bob Barker, the two best looking guys in the world are on the stage at the same time." He must be one of the guys in the back. And, but see, when I started out in wrestling in Joplin, Missouri, he was actually selling stuff there in the early 60s. Yep. He was the Knights of Columbus, or not the Knights, or there's another organization. But he remembered me.
Did you pick up any of the Barker's beauties?
No.
So we got some questions from the forums.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, the fans, see, at the time, you had to give your real name, and for 25 years, I never gave out. It was always the Big Ox, you know. So if you ever see the show, they say my real name, and I come on down, and I was thrilled to death at it, you know.
Right. Ox Baker, come on down.
It was just like, I got to tell you this story, because it's so beautiful and sad, but Bruiser Brody told me in Chicago, "Ox, I got that part, Escape from New York." He said, "I beat you out." He said, "But I'm going to go to Puerto Rico this weekend and I'm going to start the movie." And about 10 days later, John Carpenter called me. He said, "Ox, what are you doing?" I said, I'm just wrestling here." And he said, "I need you, Escape from New York and St. Louis." I said, "Bruiser Brody got the part." He said, "Bruiser Brody got stabbed last night and killed in Puerto Rico."
Oh, man.
I said, "He got stabbed last night and you're calling me now to do the part?" He said, "Ox, it's show business. It goes on, you know." And I, out of respect for Bruiser Brody, I didn't go see that movie for 10 years. By the way,
Did you ever remember Bruiser Brody? Oh yeah. Did you ever go back to Puerto Rico after that?
They've never invited me back. I don't know the reason. I did very, very well. They did very well with me. At the time, they had a booker called Tom Ernesto, and he loved me to death. He said, "Every time I get into a pinch, I call you," like I say, we do the biggest people-wise that they've ever had in Puerto Rico. But it never been, I don't know the reason, they've never called me back.
Yeah. So before Hulk Hogan, before The Rock were in the movies, you were in the movies.
Yes, I was. I shouldn't say I was the first, because a guy that started California Alley called Mike McGursky, he was in a couple hundred of them. Woody Strode was in there. But the modern-day wrestler, right? Mm-hmm. Oxbaker Escape from New York was the start of it. In fact, as I tried out for Rocky III, and Sylvester Stallone called me and said, Ox, he said, I'd have used you, but we had this new guy, you know, Hulk Hogan. We want him. And said, he beat you out for the part. I said, well, I'm a better wrestler. He said, yeah, but he's a lot better looking, you know. So, but that's it. But the idea, we started it. In fact, you know, I just did a movie last year, and I'm thinking about, I've written one myself. But I'm still into it at the odd time, and whoever calls me up, I'm always there. It's like Gary, like I told you, he wanted to sell out in this show. The 19th, the 20th, the 21st, the 23rd, the 20th, I don't know what the dates are. What are the dates of that?
The 19th, the 20th, and the 21st.
Oh, okay, the 19th and 20th. Okay. He wants to sell out. He said, Ox, can you double the, I said, I'll double the house, Fred, and tell all them people. I don't care if they got a computer or not, they can take a Polaroid picture with Ox Baker in a couple of days. You can ask all the questions, because I always say, ask me any questions that you wouldn't dare to ask another wrestler. And I've always done that over the years, you know what I mean? I never held anything back, because when you're the greatest talker in wrestling, you got to be able to talk to the fans. And one thing I've always said, I've loved all the fans. I don't care if they're as ugly as I was, what they are, you know, if they belch, whatever they got to do, you know, I love the fans. They're the ones that pay your, you know, I don't care what they say. They're the ones that pay your way in. Nowadays they got paid review. You know, they get hundreds of dollars, you know, and you got to pay for that paid review. So that's the big thing. We didn't have it in my days. I thought we'd been a millionaire today. But I loved every man. I loved every, all the guys. A lot of guys said, Ox, you always say, I never met a man that I didn't like. Promoter, they said, yeah, but some of the promoters and some of the guys talked about you. I said, you know, I never got down to their level. I always stayed at Ox Baker's level. I didn't care what they thought was right or wrong. I always stayed at my, so I never met anybody I didn't like. I liked every, I never met a fan I didn't like. And another thing, I mean, in 40 years, you can check the records, Ox Baker, not one time, though he was kid, cut, I never touched a fan, never hit a fan. I said, the fans, I work them up, so if they get mad and throw something, fine, you know. The only thing I tell about is that I don't mind you hitting me upside the head with a can, but don't hit another fan that's just there to have a good time. Don't spoil somebody else's good time. It's like, we can laugh together, but never laugh at each other, you know. Let's laugh together. We can have a little laugh, but don't laugh at each other,
you
know.
Did you always wrestle as a heel? Were you ever a baby?
Well, I didn't want to be a bad guy, but the idea when I'd step out there, you know, the fans would boo me. I don't know what the reason was. You know, I even had guys that were almost as ugly as I was, and they still would boo me. I never understood that, you know. But that was the part I played, and a lot of times I'd have to leave a territory when I got... People love winners. And, you know, like I was 3 years in Indy and Dick DeBruce. You got to leave. The fans are starting to like you, you know. He said starting to like you more than me, so I would leave. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nowadays, everybody wants the fans. There's got to be bad guys, you know?
Right.
There's been cowboy and Indian for 100,000 years. You know, they run out of Indians, so now it's cowboys and Chinese. You know what I mean? There'll always be a good guy and a bad guy. That's the way life is.
So you go to NWALegends.com, and you can find out how to get tickets there. They've got specials there for the hotel rooms, and there's some specials there for air travel as well.
That's right. And tell him that Ox Baker will be there. Say hello to his fans. Right? And I don't care if you wash your hands or not, if you suck your thumb, I still want to shake your hand and say hello, you know. A lot of English guys still suck their thumb. I don't know what the reason for that is. But,
we'll have to ask Barb about that.
Oh, is that right? Yes. You know, I was always sorry. I heard of this guy for 25. He's called, from England, it's called Big Daddy. You remember Big Daddy?
Yep.
And see, I met one of the great ones of all time. He did some stuff called Billy Robertson. He was from England, you know, and
right.
Les Thornton. Mm-hmm. All the guys I ever met, one of the great times, I was 6 months in Australia. I always loved the Aussies and the English, you know, they were always gentlemen to me, you know.
Yeah.
I met a lot of good people over the years, in fact, and I enjoyed every minute of, like, some guys, oh, Ox, you didn't make the money that the other guys did, you know. And I said, I enjoyed myself more than they did, you know. Because you can have all the money in your world if you're not enjoying yourself. What's the difference, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. All right, so
like Vince, he needed... Pardon me?
What was that? You finished your story, sorry.
Yeah, and I just said, it's like Vince, he hasn't asked me in there yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not one time I've ever run him down, and I understand he'd have to get rid of all them other guys that think they can talk if he brought me in. So the idea, keep them 20 or 30 guys, you know, and just leave me out of there. But one of these days, in fact, Mr. Sexy, when I finally get him there, oh, God, and he's going to be, he said, Ox, I will not go there unless you manage me. He said, you're the only guy that understands me. And I said, well, the other four guys said that to me, too. But when Vince said he doesn't want you, he doesn't want you. So that's the way life is.
Right. All right, we're going to go to the message board. Some fans sent in some questions for you.
Very good. Let's talk to, I love my fans.
All right, Barb.
Bob from Florida wants to know what it was like working with Rusty Brooks and Dr. Red Roberts.
I didn't quite hear that.
Bob from Florida wants to know what it was like working with Rusty Brooks and Dr. Red Roberts.
Oh,
I think that's Tim.
Rusty Brooks, he started a promotion down in Iowa years ago, you know, and what he was, he hit me a couple times and knocked me out of the ring. I said, why do you hit that so hard? He said, well, Ox, he said, I'm the promoter, I'm allowed to do that. So I hit him right between the eyes and knocked him down. He said, why'd you do that? I said, well, I'm Ox Baker. I'm allowed to do that.
Nice.
Another question, please.
Bob from Florida also wants to know what it was like training new wrestlers with a guy like Boris Malenko.
Training what?
New wrestlers.
Oh, well, you know, when you get into wrestling, the first time someone yells at you, calls you a name, it's like show business. All these guys are multimillionaires, and you see them still do movies. It's like wrestling. Once you heard the roar of the crowd, once you've been in there, and you know that you can tell some guy, knock me on my rear, and I want to hear these people yell at the top of their lungs. It's like you're hooked. It's like no other feeling in the world. You feel good inside, because you know you did that. You made them people yell, you made them people cheer, and you made them go home, you know, and instead of go home and beat up on their wives, they can just go home and say, I seen Ox Baker get beat again tonight, and I'm going to go again next week because you get someone else is going to beat him up. So it's just such a thrill, it's unbelievable.
The Flea wants to know how many men you've killed with the dreaded heart punch.
Well, they say there's actually two, you know, but all I know about... I wrestled Ray Gunkel after I wrestled Alberto Torres. He broke my wrist that night, knocked me down about 11 times. He overexerted himself. I'm in the dressing room, and someone said, he just dropped over in the dressing room, and 200 people got clubs and get out of here. And they escorted me out of town. The promoter run me down about 40 miles down. He said, Ox, I just called up Big Bob of Brazil. He wants to wrestle. We got a sellout. 2,000 tickets already sold. Could you come next week? I said, did people want to kill me? He said, don't worry, I'll get you a couple of bodyguards. I said, oh, my, you know. But in reality, I didn't figure I never had a bad guy. Because either guy, I really, Alberto, I know I didn't hurt, and I know that Ray Gunkel beat me up pretty bad, and I don't believe that I hurt him either, you know.
Right. Uncle Glenbo wants to know, oh, we already asked this question about the heart punch. You said Stasiak invented it, but you probably perfected it.
Well, what it was, when the first guy died, the promoter would just say, what did you do? Would you kill these guys? What did I do? I threw the heart punch. We'll throw the heart punch tonight. See if we can get number three, you know. And a lot of times, when a guy would go down, you know, because I told him two things, in fact, is over the years, well, like in Puerto Rico, I broke the invader's ribs. Steve Rickard, I broke his son's ribs. And some colored fellow, I can't remember. Oh, African-American. You got to say African-American now. You can't say colored. But African-American guy, as I threw the punch, it was like Senator Thomas. They said, did you say step into it or step away? And the punch had already been thrown, and it broke your ribs.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had any real serious injuries in the ring?
Believe it or not, because I was, a pretty fair amateur wrestler. I could, like, protect myself. Now, I got a lot of guys in there who was clumsier than I were, and they tripped over their own feet, and a lot of guys, like Big Ernie Ladd, he hit me hard several times, and like I say, a lot of guys knocked me down with punches, but as far as really getting hurt, I never did, you know.
Right. You think that's The guys will have shorter careers now, taking the so many of those big bumps and the big flips off the ropes and to the outside of the ring. They're not going to be...
Well, I was just at the Barry Orton's house in Las Vegas, and his son was getting operated on his shoulder.
Right.
I was just with Shawn Michaels, and he got operated on his back. Stone Cold Steve Austin, who claims to be a second cousin of mine, he's had two neck operations and a back operation. Ted DiBiase broke his back.
Right.
Well, the first 25 years, I never heard of that happening, right?
Right.
These guys actually did too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a Mankind, I've heard that his mind is gone, but I talked to him. He's a very, very nice guy.
I heard he has some memory loss. Sometimes even
some memory loss. But
right.
I talked to him a couple of days. He seemed like he was all right. He said, "Ox, I just had to do that because the fans wanted that, right?"
Right.
I said, well, why are you trying to break six tables? He said, well, I heard the record was six, so I wanted to break six. I said, is that right, you know? And I said, he did have some memory loss. But no, they're trying way too much. Too many of them are getting hurt, and their careers, you know, Stone Cold is not wrestling anymore. Shawn Michaels is not the same. Ted DiBiase, I hear these guys will never wrestle again. You know what I mean?
Let's say
and you know what the bottom line? What the bottom line is?
What?
3 weeks ago, they were short a man in a six-man tag. I got in there in a six-man tag at 70 years old.
Right.
70 years old, I was in the ring. Right. Back is all right.
Yeah. See, it's a lot easier on the body, growing the big mustache and curling up the eyebrows and learning how to talk than throwing yourself off a cage or off a balcony.
Well, the eyebrows spoke for themselves, you know, because people are, look at these scary movies. Even though, you know, 1,500 people have got cameras, you get scared when it gets real dark outside, you know, and like Freddy with his scissors and knives. People get scared. They were scared. They were scared in the old days.
Right.
When I told people to sit down, they actually sat down. When I tell kids in malls, I did the other day, my wife gets on me all the time. This kid was yapping. I said to his mother, "Will you shut that kid up? I want to backhand him." She said, "Well, thank you. He sat down for the first time all day." I said, "You should hire me, for crying out loud." In other words, when you still have it, you still have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be there at that show?
I'll try. I'd like to make it, but I don't know if I'm up in Massachusetts. It's kind of far away from me.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sorry about that, because I was going to tell Gary to give you a free autograph picture of me, or I can't give you a free Polaroid, because he gets most of the money, you know, but I would have took a picture with you, I guarantee you.
All right, well, if I make it down there, I'll take you up on that offer.
All right, and bring that Englishman with you. I like him, you know. I can't understand what he's saying, but I really like the guy.
Oh, that's sweet of you. I like you, too.
They always say, I got the Queen's English, you know what I mean, the King's. Matey. They call me Matey. I don't know what that is. I keep waiting for him to hug me, you know.
All right, we've got one more question here from the board.
All right, yeah, I want to hear it.
Susie, she wants to know where you came up with the name Ox.
Well, what it was, at 14, I went from 5'8" to 6'4", 310 pounds. The teachers couldn't call me dummy or ignorant. So they said, well, we call him Ox. He'll never understand that we call him dummy and ignorant. So they said, come here, Ox. And when I got into wrestling years ago, they said, where would you want to go? I said, well, they've been calling me the Big Ox for 20 years. Why don't I go as the Big Ox? They said, you know that means dummy. I said, I'd never question it. I just know when the people hear Ox Baker's name, they set up because they say, it's like your show. You know that you'll get the best show out of Ox Baker.
Oh, yeah.
You know you got the best talker in the history of wrestling. And you know, Gary Price, he'll probably call me later, you know, he won't give me any bonus, but he said, Ox, I know I got a sellout now because I picked the right guy for this radio show. And you guys all agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the number one guy I picked.
Have you ever had a better interview?
I don't think so.
No.
You never will, I guarantee it. Because I've been the three-night guest and all that, but I always do the very best I can.
Well, thank you a lot.
Thank you, gentlemen. And get that computer fixed for crying out loud.
And everybody go to NWALegends.com. And thank you, Mr. Baker.
The 19th, the 20th, the 21st, and you get to see Loudmouth Ox Baker. Wow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you a lot. That was great.
My pleasure.
Sorry about the computer problems earlier. I'm glad you stuck.
That's all right. When you got a cheap computer, you got a cheap computer. You know what I mean?
Well,
you have a nice evening.
You too. Goodbye.
And tell them that I like them peanut butter cookies.